In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Whose likeness and inscription is upon these two young confirmants. Whose likeness and inscription is upon you, upon the faithful departed. It's the likeness, image, and inscription of God, your heavenly Father, in his dear Son, Jesus Christ, who forms you to his cruciform image in holy baptism, who places the good confession upon your lips, even as he himself made confession before Pilate. And inscribing his name upon you in the waters of holy baptism, he declares that not only is he your God, but that you are his own dear child, and no one, no thing, not even sin, death, or the devil, will snatch you from his hand. Whose likeness and inscription is this? It's the holy triune God applied to you in the flesh and blood of the incarnate Son. To set your mind then on earthly things, on things such as wealth and passing glory, is destruction. These things will not and cannot last. They will not and cannot save. Do you not know that Jesus declares wisdom? Fear, love, and trust in God above all things, to be better than jewels and better than gold, even fine gold. How can it be any different? Whose image and likeness do you bear? Is it that of this world, or is it that of Christ? To whom do you belong? Not to yourself. Rather, you've been paid for, been purchased. You've been bought at a price, the price of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't seek after things that will not and cannot save or last. Evan and Olivia are soon to make confession that they will do just that, that they will not put their fear, love, and trust in the things of this world, but rather in the things that God has given. That they will cling to his word, will return to their baptism in absolution, that they will hunger always for the body and blood of Christ. These are the things of God. What they will vow before God and man this day is that they will render to God the things that are God's. Namely, they will put perfect fear, love, and trust in him above all things. Is that not what you and your departed loved ones also promised? Is that not what you promised when, by daily contrition and repentance, you drowned that old man within you, submerging him beneath the baptismal waters until he breathes no more, that the new man, the new creation in Christ, may arise to live before him in holiness, righteousness, and blessedness forever? The image and name upon you is that of God. Don't set your mind on earthly things which lead only to destruction. Repent. Repent and take heart. For Jesus, wisdom incarnate, walks in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice for your sake. The word that proceeds from his mouth is far better than jewels or gold. Jesus comes to be obedient when you are not. He comes to set his heart and mind on things above when you do not. He is obedient to the civic law. He is obedient to the divine law, both of which he himself rules over and has given. And in setting his mind on the things of God, Jesus offers in your place the perfect and complete sacrifice of himself for your sin. He renders to God the things that are God's by his perfect obedience, by perfectly fearing, loving, and trusting in his Father above all things, in the piercing of his flesh and the shedding of his blood. And he does so for you. Your own image and likeness, your own name is purged from you in the death and blood of Jesus. That is, the old man in you is drowned and put to death in the death of Jesus. Your sins are nailed through in his body. Your sins are wrapped in his shroud, laid in the dust of the grave, submerged into the font, and left behind in that grave. But there arises with and in Christ, in resurrection, the new and holy man who loves the word of God, who is always striving to have the perfect confession upon his lips, who does not set his mind on earthly things, but who has perfect fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The new man in Christ is raised up in holy baptism. He is cleansed in the holy absolution. He is strengthened and prepared for his own bodily resurrection on the last day in the Holy Communion. This is what you are called to devote yourself to. This is what it means to render to God the things that are God's, that you receive from his hand what he knows best and most desires to give you, what he knows is best for you. Sometimes that means examining yourself by his law, and that isn't always pleasant. Sometimes it hurts, but it is for your benefit that you would know what things you must struggle against, to know what things you must not set your mind on, in order that he may bring you to repentance, that he may bind you up and set your feet into the paths of righteousness and into the way of everlasting life, that upon your lips would be words of mercy and compassion for your brother, as well as the praise and confession of his holy name in Christ. What you render to God is a life of praise and thanksgiving, is a sacrifice of the self, of the ego in submission to God in Christ, who has borne your sin and cleansed you from all iniquity, who forms you to himself as the Spirit plants you deep within his wounds. In rendering to God the things that are God's by his sacrifice, Jesus also rendered to Caesar the things of honor and justice, submitting to Caesar's law that put him to death on the cross. But do you not realize, do you not recognize that even in this, Jesus is fulfilling the law in your place? He's doing for you what you cannot and will not do for yourself. Jesus submits perfectly in your place as he sets himself under Caesar's law. He makes the good confession before Pilate, and yet doesn't question or deny the authority of Pilate to nail him to the cross. He is obedient for you and in your place. As you, Evan, and Olivia are about to make public confession of your faith, this is how you stand, how you actually will be able to make this confession. By Jesus, who bears your sins in his body. In rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, Jesus has, in perfect obedience to the Father's will, rendered the things of God to God. And you are reconciled to the Father for that reason, rescued from sin, death, and the devil. You didn't have strength to do it. There's not enough money you could pay as a tax to do so. But Jesus perfectly renders for you, renders for all of you, perfect and holy obedience that you would live eternally in the forgiveness of your sins, to cleanse you from all your iniquities in the waters of holy baptism, that you would be absolved from your offenses and all that separates you from God, that you would have a rich feast and table prepared for you in the presence of your enemies, that you may eat and drink for the resurrection of your body, the strengthening and preservation of your faith, and the life everlasting. Jesus renders to God the things that are God's. He renders to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. In doing so, he now provides you with true riches and honor. for enduring wealth and righteousness are found in Jesus. Whose image and likeness do you bear? That of Jesus Christ, who grants unto you a heavenly citizenship already, even now, as you live in this life. But sometimes that's a struggle. Your heavenly citizenship may be mocked or even questioned. You yourself might wonder, how can these things be? Do I not still suffer and sin? Am I not still tempted? Yes, of course you are, and of course you do, because you have weak, fallen flesh. And yet you bear the image and name of Jesus crucified for your sake, risen again for your justification, ever interceding for you at the right hand of his Father in heaven. This is your true riches and honor. This is the enduring wealth and righteousness given you by grace, not because you earned it, not because you deserved it, not because you've stood boldly and endured catechetical questioning before God and men, but given to you rather because God is pleased with you once more for the sake of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. The Father loves you as the Son himself loves you, and as the Spirit brings you into that love of Father and Son. Whose image and likeness do you bear? That of Jesus, who will transform your lowly body to be like his glorious body, and the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. You bear his image and likeness. Thus, this life isn't all that there is. It's not the end. It doesn't matter if your body is overcome by weakness, age, or disease. Jesus will raise you up on the last day, and your body will be perfected and glorified like unto his own. Gone will be all those traces of weakness and disease, all infirmities. Gone will be all traces of sin and death, as you will be glorified like unto him. Confirmation is simply the public confession that you believe this to be true, that you confess what the Scriptures do about your sin, about how God works your salvation in Christ, that in Christ you have far more riches than can be counted, calculated, or comprehended, that even as you have far more riches poured out upon you, these aren't the end either. You await the fulfillment of that final promise, the resurrection of your own body. The saints already in bliss await the very same thing with you. Whose image and likeness is this? It's Christ Jesus, who has in your place and for your sake rendered to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and therefore has rendered to God the things that are God's, that you may live boldly and confidently in him. And he will bring you, body and soul, into his kingdom where ages never end. In Jesus' name, amen.